One reason a lot of people have seen you in around Illinois of late was your tour of community colleges. Mm-hmm. Did you get to visit all of them, and what did you learn that you didn't already know about them?
Yeah, I have visited all 48 of Illinois' community colleges. It's a great system. One of the things I learned is that at every different community college, there's something unique going on that the rest of the state can learn from. There's a lot of experimentation going on in how to best reach students, how to best connect them with opportunities and with the workforce. The one thing I learned also is a consistent challenge for all the community colleges in students arriving at community college not ready to do college-level math. About half of the students who enter community colleges are not ready for college-level math. So that's an area that no matter where you are in the state, we can do a better job. So that's going to be the focus, one of the focuses of my report to the governor and the legislature.
One of the key areas is MAP grant funding. I've read that checks will decline up to $420 in the next semester if lawmakers don't pass a supplemental budget bill. Is this simply a matter of ISAC, Student Assistance Commission, giving up necessary funds for that?
They're in an interesting position. The extra funds are already there and already reserved for ISAC for those MAP grants. And what the legislature, we hope, will be able to do in this veto session is give them the authorization to spend it. So it's not that we need to get money from somewhere else. The money's already been reserved for this purpose. We need the authority to spend it, and then we can make sure that those students get their complete MAP grants.
Are you confident that legislative scholarships will be canceled in the fall veto session? This is something that the governor was adamantly opposed to continuing.
Yeah. I am 100% with the governor on that. Legislative scholarships have such a checkered past that we need to just cut them off altogether. I'm not sure. I can't predict what's going to happen with that. I hope that even if the legislature doesn't respond through cutting them off completely, that member by member folks will say, I don't want to be associated with this. I'm not going to use the opportunity for legislative scholarship.
What's your response to what happened with the override of the smart grid veto? I read that you supported the concept of this, but not that particular legislation.
Yeah, I like the idea of a smart grid. I'd like to have a smart way to get there. I'm not too sure that this recent override is the smartest way to get there. I don't think it's too smart for consumers. So I'm appreciative of the jobs that will be developed. I'm appreciative of getting to a smart grid. I hope that not too many people are shut off on their power as a result of this.
Are you familiar with the trailer bill that was attached and, mm-hmm. and what were the concerns about that?
Yeah, the trailer bill is an improvement, certainly. The one thing it didn't improve, though, is having this process regulated through the Interstate Commerce Commission, which is set up to hear and understand and balance the needs of the utilities and the consumers. I'm not too sure that the consumers were heard as loudly as they should have been in this process.
Any prediction on what happens with gaming? Things could change as soon as today on that.
To make a prediction on that would be a gamble, and I won't do that.
What would be the best solution that would you like to see? The governor was concerned about the slot machines at racetracks, but wanted to have the five new casinos. What do you feel should be the best?
What I'm paying attention to most closely is the regulation of gaming in Illinois. I think that was one of the governor's key concerns, and certainly one of my key concerns about the bill that was passed at the end of the last session. I think we really need to maintain a tight regulation of gaming in Illinois because of the history of problems and challenges that we know will be there. So I'm looking forward to what comes out in terms of improved regulation there.
Your father was lieutenant governor many years ago at a different time. What did he tell you about the job? And now that you're in this position, how do your experiences compare with what he told you?
Well, when he was sworn in, I was 7. So I can't say that at the time we had a lot of deep level discussions about the job of lieutenant governor. But I think I learned a lot from Dad all along the way about the importance of public service, about the importance of listening to everyone, about the importance of standing up for things that you believe in, even when it might not be the popular thing. I've got big shoes to fill, and I'm doing my best to see that I get that done.
What's next on your agenda in the coming days while we track the veto session and what's on
Continuing to work on education issues, primarily. The governor's asked me to be his point person on education reform. There's a lot of education issues going on right now. Working also towards a better statement of economic interests down the road, which is something that all elected officials complete to help journalists and members of the public to figure out whether there's any conflict of interest on the part of public servants. And that form right now is wholly inadequate, and we're working on making that a better tool for citizens.